Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, and I'm here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today we're going to talk about dissecting a deal. So we're going to kind of take it from start to finish, and Jeff is going to explain how he crafts these offers for some creative financing strategies. Right, Jeff?
That's right.
So I'm excited about that. And then here, I think in the next couple episodes, we're going to be getting a couple speakers.
Yes. One
of them is a guy by the name of Jax Petty. Tell us a little bit about him.
Jax is my real estate attorney, as well as owning the title company that we use for a lot of the owner financing transactions. Very, very well versed in owner financing, specifically contract for deed.
Nice. Okay, cool. And then, guys, we need your feedback on this. I don't think we've gotten any calls on our hotline yet, Jeff. So I want people asking questions and so that we can kind of bring them the content that they're looking for. You got anything to say on that?
You know, one of the things that I think the reason that we do this, obviously, is that we enjoy having these conversations. I mean, we were doing it before we ever started recording them. And all the new investors that I talked to, I literally just talked to like two or three earlier this week at a RIA meeting. And they all want to be in wholesaling or they want to be in rehabbing. And I'm wondering why they want to compete with all of the other investors for all the same type deals of properties.
Yep.
And they're brand new and they're going up against much more experienced investors. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's going to be difficult.
Absolutely. And definitely reduces your odds.
Yeah. And so if you learn the art of creative financing, and it's a constant learning process, that it broadens so much more than what you can do. You don't even have to go after those same types of leads.
Yeah.
You can go after leads that pretty much no one is going after, which makes the competition, then, you know, getting the conversion rate so much better.
Absolutely. Great point on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's dive into, I think you were talking to me earlier and you said that you had a couple fourplexes.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
So tell us about those. How did you find them? Where are they? And are you currently making offers on them? Or
have already made offers now, just following up to see what we can do to buy them.
Okay, cool. Yep. So how'd you find it?
So this was probably an old direct mail campaign that we sent to multifamily homeowners, multifamily property owners.
Okay, and, how old?
It's hard to say. We haven't done any direct mail in probably 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. So prior to that,
okay.
And it could have been, you know, 3 months ago, it could have been 6 months ago. I'm not really sure.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah.
I kind of had a lead that came in and it was probably like 6 months ago that they got a mail piece from us. And yeah, so that happens.
Well, we actually, since you brought that up, we actually just put a property under contract and found a buyer just yesterday. And the mail piece came from a zip code list, so more of a geographical mailing,
targeting,
which
yep,
we haven't done in 2018. So right, he's been holding our postcards since sometime in 2017.
So well over 6 months.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yes. So It does work. There is like this combination effect. I mean, that's why you want to hit people more than one time, because they do hang on to some of that mail and call you when they're ready.
Very true. Yep. Very true. Okay, so you sent out a postcard to a multifamily list. Where at?
Idaho.
Idaho. Okay. Yes.
And it's really interesting because the same time that we got this lead, we got another lead with a guy in Idaho with 3 fourplexes, and this one has 2 fourplexes. Okay. So when we got the first lead, 3 fourplexes, they're not in the same area, but they're not terribly far. They're probably 20, 25 minutes driving time away from one another. The first seller was asking $1.5 million for all three. $1.6 million for all three. So $533,000 a piece.
Okay.
Okay. And they were bringing in about $900 a month each unit, with potential of maybe like $950, maybe as much as $1,000, but okay. $950 probably where it should be.
Okay.
So I thought, wow, you know, that's not a terrible price, but it's not like a super good price. So we made offers to that one. Okay. And as we've been following up, we realized that he put it on the MLS, and within a couple of days he had offers. So it's all pending already. So these properties are somewhere between, you know, 500 and 533,000 under contract within like 3 days.
Wow.
Okay. So the reason that I know this is that when I got this new lead, the one that we're going to discuss today, that was one that's how I found that our old, when I say old, it's less than a week apart between. Yeah,
yeah.
So I saw it and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Didn't I just make an offer on that property? Oh, all three of those properties?
Now it's a good comp for you.
Right. So, and I would assume if it goes through that it is going to sell for at least $500,000 a piece.
Okay.
Now, granted, two different areas, but I can tell you that these particular fourplexes are very near the university. I mean, like walking distance. And so really good area as far as rentals go.
Right.
Okay. The first deal, they were nice. They were updated. They were in good shape. They were ready to be sold as is. These are a little more rough. They need some updating, but they're all rented. Every unit's rented. They're just under rented. And that's what I want to go through is how are we looking at it? When I tell you the purchase price that they were asking compared to what I just told you about similar fourplexes in the same area, I want you to understand what I'm thinking, how I'm trying to structure something based on that.
Okay.
Okay. So their asking price was $330,000.
$330,000.
Okay. And they claimed that it was based on an appraisal. So I don't know if that means that they actually had it appraised as is, or an appraisal is that, you know, I asked a realtor to give me some comps or what. But they also mentioned that their realtor told them that they should be getting $900 a month rent per unit if there was some, you know, updating done to the units.
Okay.
Okay.
So even like, so just kind of a broad overview of that already is you, they want 330 and you got comps of, 530, right?
Well, we don't have comps yet. It's pending.
Okay,
but,
yeah, so you don't know.
So we have a range. But my thinking is that these other units will sell for somewhere between 5 and 533 per unit.
Yeah.
And then we saw some others. And we'll talk a little bit about how I'm trying to compare these, because sometimes it's not easy to compare a fourplex with another fourplex. So we'll go over a little bit about how I'm evaluating what the true value would really be.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let me give you a little background on this, on what the details are of this property. So there's two of them, and for this sake, they're both the same, but I'll give you an example of what they are. So there's four units. They're all two bedroom, one bath. They're all rented. They're either rented for $625 or $675, considerably less than where we think that they should be. They're like 780 square feet a piece, so not bad. They're built in 1977. And remember that whatever it means, which I'm not positive what it is that supposedly they have an appraisal for $330.
Okay.
So we already made them a cash offer. The cash offer was simple, and we came in at like $315 or $313 or something. And to be honest, we could negotiate up to $330 and I'd probably be okay with it.
Okay.
So really what I want to discuss is how we're creating some different financing terms on this one to see if we can, you know, if we want to buy and hold it, wouldn't we rather buy it with some terms rather than the cash and have to go refinance it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And even if we wanted to wholesale it, most likely we can make more money wholesaling it with some terms already in place.
Right.
Okay. So the whole point of this is, all right, how do we figure out what to offer? And this one is pretty discounted, but we've got to also understand there's going to need to be repair costs done.
Okay.
So my estimate is that it is probably going to cost $50,000 to renovate.
Okay.
Ask me how I came up with that.
You guessed.
Correct. So I think that it'll probably be in that range. I'll be a little higher, I'll be a little low. It'll be somewhere in that range.
Okay.
If we're actually doing $10,000 per unit, I can certainly replace all the flooring, the paint. I could do some renovation in the bathroom, and I can do some upgrades in the kitchen. Yeah. As long as, you know, and I do know that there's some issues with air conditioning. So I'm not sure what that is, but that's going to be the other $10,000 that I left for miscellaneous stuff.
On the table, okay. Yeah.
I don't believe that there's a roof issue. I mean, that could get a little more costly. I don't think that there's any more, you know, I don't think they need furnaces or anything like that. I think it's pretty much cosmetics and air conditioning.
Okay.
So that's what I did, is I came up with like $50,000.
Repair costs.
Yeah. And we'll verify that if we get to that point where, you know, we go and see it. So the first thing I did is I looked at some comps. So I'm trying to compare fourplexes to fourplexes. The problem is that they're not always very close in proximity.
Yeah, right.
So I could find some that were in that 800 to 900 to 1,000 square foot range that were two bedroom, one bath, two bedroom, two baths, and what they rented for, and then what they sold for.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do right off the bat is I want to know what these will rent for in that area. So I will go to Rentometer or Rentometer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and I call it Rentometer. Rentometer.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah, so go put in your address, and I try to do it, you know, in a close proximity, just as you would comping a single family home. The closer to where your property is, the better. But you may have to expand out. It just depends. I try to keep it within the last 12 months. But if there's not enough, you got to go back further.
Right.
And so what I found was that, hey, things in this area rent for anywhere from $825 to $1,050. And the thing that you want to be careful about is I don't want to compare this to a single family house. I want to compare it to like a duplex style type unit. So,
yeah.
So I figured 900 is probably right. We might even be able to get a little bit more if it were nice.
Yeah.
And so, but let's be conservative. Let's say that we can only get
850,
okay? Which all day long, okay? So if we could get 850, our total income would be $3,400. Is that right?
Yeah.
850 times four. $3,400.
Yep.
Okay, so now what I want to do is, and we've talked about this before, where we want to kind of work backwards and see what we have to work with in terms of money,
cash flow for you or your end buyer, right?
That's correct. So we're going to take our $3,400 and we're going to minus out taxes.
Okay.
Because that's an expense no matter what. And I think those ran about let's call it $300 a month.
Okay.
Okay. So we want to minus out $300.
So you got $3,100.
Okay. Then we're going to have insurance. Now, I don't know what the insurance would run on this, so I just took a guess. So around $150 a month, somewhere in there.
Okay. So minus $150.
Yep.
Leaves you at $2,950.
That's right. And then I'm also going to, what normal expenses would a landlord owner pay on some income property?
Trash, sewer and garbage,
yep.
Water.
Yep.
And then if there's any kind of building lights.
No common area that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And so I agree with you. Let's count in like water, sewer, garbage.
Okay. Okay. So another $100 a month or
let's call it like
150.
I would call it $200 to $250. So let's say 200. Remember there's four units here that they're paying for.
Okay.
So just in our expenses, we have $650.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's minus that. That is
minus from
$2,750. So $3,400, the gross rents.
Yep.
Minus $650 leaves us with $2,750.
Yep.
Okay. So now you may even want to include property management, which would be, you know, like 8%, 10% of your gross rents. I don't do that. Not on these smaller units.
Right.
So four and less, I don't worry. If someone wants property management, they should work that out. I'm not going to figure that into these calculations. But do what you want to do.
Okay.
Okay. So we have $2,750 to work with. And so what needs to be figured out now is what amount are we going to give to the seller to make our offer?
Okay.
And what amount do we want to keep either for ourselves or for our end buyer in terms of cash flow?
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, so the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to take out my financial calculator. And remember, when we did this, we did an earlier episode of just very simple calculations using your financial calculator.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take just a random number. Remember, they're asking 330. So let's say that we're offering them 337. Okay. Just a random number. So we're going to put 337 as our present value.
337.
And let's just take also another random number of what we would offer as far as a down payment. Now, we always want the down payment to be as low as we can get it, but they're already asking a pretty low price. This, and I probably should mention, this property is free and clear, so there's no debt owed on it.
Nice.
So we have a number of different options available to us, but right now we're just trying to gauge what would be a common amount of money that you would pay if you went and got a conventional loan on this.
20%.
So you'd put down 20%, but what I'm trying to figure out is if let's say that we offered them $28,000, and there's no rhyme or reason why I picked that number. It's just
okay.
You know, it's just a number right now. Okay, so let's take 337 minus $28,000 equals $309,000. Okay, that's going to be our present value. Okay,
$309,000. Okay, present value.
So right now, non-owner occupied loans are probably somewhere between 5.75% and 6%.
Okay.
Would you think that's about right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty close.
So let's just figure 6%.
Okay.
Okay, and we're going to amortize it over 30 years, and our payment's going to be about $1,850 a month. Does that make sense?
So annual rate, 6%, right?
Yes.
And the period was how long?
30 months, or 30 years, which is 360 months.
Okay.
Okay, so someone that comes in and would buy this conventionally, if they didn't have to put down 20%, if they actually only put down $28,000, their payment would be $1,850-ish. You know, it's $1,852.61, I believe, is what it came out to be. But that's giving us a range, okay? And that range is that if we buy it and were to go get a loan, that's where we'd be, okay?
Okay.
So what I'm trying to do is figure out, all right, if I'm going to make them a cash offer of $330,000, how much more can I offer him if he was to take some terms and see if we can buy it on that? So there's no reason to offer him $330,000 on terms. I mean, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's up the price. So we're going to offer him more than what he's even asking.
Okay.
Okay? So let's say we offer him $347,000. That's significantly more than what he's asking.
Right.
Okay? So, and let's say that we're going to offer him, now this might change if you want to buy it or if you're going to wholesale it. So we're looking at wholesaling this. So let me explain what the differences would be. You're offering a down payment that makes sense for you if you want to hold it.
Right. Versus.
Versus what the market will pay us if we wholesale it.
As a down payment.
Okay. Those two may be very different numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. So I believe on something like this that I can get easy $50,000 to $60,000 down. Because how much would someone have to pay for to get a conventional loan?
20%.
At least, right? Yeah. At least 20%.
Yeah.
You're looking at $70,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I can keep their down payment, and their down payment includes my fee. So we've got to calculate that in as well. But if I can keep the total down payment to around 50
uh-huh.
or 60 even, it's still better than going and getting a conventional loan, right?
Right.
Yep. So I'm probably going to shoot for 50 to 55,000 is the number that I feel really comfortable with that someone's going to come with a down payment.
Okay.
So let's take 55. That's kind of our maximum. Okay. So out of that 55, how much money should we make on this? Well,
as much as possible.
Well, I would agree. So, but... And this one's kind of an interesting case because, you know, to me, there's a good $20,000 to $50,000 in wholesale fees, depending on
potentially.
Yeah. So now, haven't seen it, so it could be a real dump. Could need more work than I expect. Could be, you know, in this pocket of, you know, Idaho that, you know, that. The values are a little less. Haven't checked into all this. This is, you know, we're just trying to get the offer out and then we'll verify everything later.
Okay.
So if I'm offering 55, I'm thinking, hey, I want to make at least $25,000 on this deal.
Okay.
So what does that leave that I can offer the seller?
So if with a down payment, so you're just taking that 347 and minusing the 55.
No, so 347 is what the price that I just picked out of the air that I can offer. And we're just going to start plugging in numbers and see where it puts us until, you know, we figure out a good fit. So what we do know, let's recap just so that I'm not confusing you or everyone else here.
Okay.
Okay. So what we did is we looked at what could this property bring in per month, $3,400.
Right.
We took out the taxes,
which left us somewhere around $2,750.
The insurance and the water, sewer, garbage left
after
us
our expenses.
Cash flow of $2,750. That's got to work for the seller, got to be their income, and either us or our buyer. Okay. Then we looked at, all right, what is, and we just picked a price that we wanted to see what the potential payment would be for a new buyer.
Right.
And that would be like $1,850 principal and interest. Okay.
Okay.
And now we're just playing with some numbers. We're just looking. We know that we're going to make a cash offer of $330. Uh-huh. So our owner financing offer has got to be significantly better. There's no reason to even make it.
Right.
Okay. So what we actually did is we came in less on the cash. So just not terribly less, because I feel like it's a good deal. But hey, if they just say yes, then we just got it for even a better deal.
Yeah.
And if they say no, we can negotiate some. So
and your cash offer was 315.
313, I believe.
313. Okay.
313 and some change. Okay. So if they don't like our cash offer, we can help. We can work on that. To be honest, I'd be happy to pay them $330.
Yeah, so there's lots of room for negotiation there.
But what happens if I like jump all over and say, hey, I'll just pay $330?
He would think you might be desperate.
Well, he might think that maybe he's asking
more.
Too little,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that so, too, yep, right.
Yeah, you know, I want to be close enough where it entices him to engage in conversation. But I don't want to, I'm willing to work this out, whatever we've got to go do.
Right.
Okay? So we came in at 313. Now we're at 347 maybe, and this is just a number that I have picked to just figure some stuff out and see where it fits and all this. Okay?
Okay.
So let's take 347 and remember, last piece. So we kind of looked at, hey, what can we expect to get from our end buyer?
Yeah, so you were thinking 55, and you thought you want to make 25.
Right.
So that would leave $30,000.
For the seller.
Yeah, that we can give as a down payment to the seller.
That's right. So if we're taking 347, and we're minusing 30,000, that leaves us with 317.
Right.
That's going to be our principal balance or our present value.
Okay.
Okay, now let's try to make this a little more enticing, because we know that, hey, someone that normally would be buying this can pay $1,850 a month. Conventionally, that's what they'd be expecting. So we can put any interest rate we want in here.
Okay.
But the better the interest rate, the more enticing it might be to the seller.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just try 5% and see where it takes us.
5%.
Okay, and we're going to amortize it over 30 years or 360 months.
Yeah.
And our payment is $1,701. Is that what you got?
Yeah, let's see.
It's 11 o'clock.
Is that still work? I mean, that's still $850 a month cash flow.
Cash flow, which is pretty good.
Could we even offer more money? So what if we, instead of our principal balance being 317, what if we knocked it up another $8,000? So we're actually making the purchase price $355, and now we're doing a principal balance of 3.25.
Yeah, 325.
And let's do 5%.
Five, okay. And solve for payment?
Yep.
So that's still $1,744.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden your purchase price on this property is, there's a big difference between 355 and 313, right? I mean, that's significant. He was asking 330. We're $25,000 more over his asking price. He's not getting all of his money right now, but if he's willing to look at it, one, this would be a great buy and hold at this price. I mean, you're bringing in about $1,000 a month. Even if you added in property management, I mean, this totally makes sense. if you were now giving him 30 grand and you were bringing in 1,000, figure out your return on investment. $1,000 a month cash flow over the course of 12 months is 12,000. Let's say it only equals 10 when it's all said and done, and you've put down 30, your return on investment is only 33%. So
that's not very good, huh?
That might work. So what I'm trying to show, and what we did is we came up with 1, 2, 3, 4 different offers for this seller.
Okay.
And I'll go over what we came up with. There's not a right or wrong answer here. And to be honest, if price was an issue with this particular seller, I just showed you that I can come up considerably more money if that's the case. To be honest, I could offer this seller $500,000 as is,
right,
for this property. We may not have any interest. It may be principal only payments. They may not start right away. They may go for, you know, a longer period of time. But price isn't as relevant as all the rest of the terms. I can typically pay, especially on a free and clear property, and if I'm the buyer or I'm going to wholesale it, as long as everyone understands you really need to hold this for the length of the term or close to it, because I mean, even if we paid $700,000 for this property, way more than what it's worth, but we only had $1,000 a month payment, so we're bringing in a ton of cash flow.
Right.
And it's $1,000 principal only payments, so it reduces by $12,000, and we have 25 years to pay it off. I mean, those numbers will still work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, Jeff, we're kind of going long here. I'm going to make this a two-parter.
Yep.
So let's end this here, and then we're going to pick it up right on the next episode, and then we're going to recap what we just talked about, and then what I want to do is go into all of your four options that you offered. So, guys, thanks for listening. I hope this is super, super helpful for you. I know I'm learning a lot here just trying to go through this deal with Jeff, you know, using my financial calculator. So I hope you guys are kind of doing the same thing. And, you know, if you're not, go back, listen to this episode, because this is super, super helpful to learn how to make these offers for these kind of properties. And Jeff, you'd like brought up, you know, a gold nugget of like, let's not offer him 330. Let's offer him more. Who else is doing that out there out of the competition? The answer is nobody, because, you know, or at least very, very few people, because people don't know how to do this, right? This is a more advanced strategy, but this is why you guys are listening to the Creative Financing Podcast to learn this. So thanks for listening. Any last words, Jeff, on this one?
Nope, we'll just pick it up right where we left off on the next episode.
Okay, great. Guys, if you haven't, please go to our website. Well, first of all, like and subscribe to our podcast, number one. We need as many, many subscriptions as possible so that we can rank higher, so we can continue to bring you guys value. But you can go to our website, www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Also, we have a hotline that we've been trying to get people to call in with some questions so that we can bring those questions onto the show. I can present them to Jeff, and we can get some answers and teach you what you guys want to learn. So
I'd love to see some deals that maybe we can help structure.
Yeah,
for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, how helpful would that be? Like, you guys have access to an expert here that does this all day long. And if you're looking at any kind of deal, bring it on, bring it to us. Like, let us run some numbers for you. So anyway, the Creative Financing Hotline is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. Thanks so much, guys. We'll talk to you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.